It's been some unbelievable day and evening and year, and never have been through anything like this, but it's a beautiful thing to behold.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And can you hear it? Can you hear it there? Yeah. Here they come. They're marching. All of those Republicans who are now going to have to try and find a way somehow to march together.
Guys, we have a con artist as the front runner in the Republican Party.
Whoever you are that think you're going to support Donald Trump, think, do you believe in the Constitution?
Donald Trump is a jerk.
To rebuild the bridges to the man, they have said some things that they may now regret.
The screenwriter says that he based the character Biff Tannen on Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is not going to be the nominee of the Republican Party. If he is, that's the end of the Republican Party.
All together now, building a bridge back to Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump.
Yes, Donald Trump is now the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party for President of the United States. That's quite a Trump steak mouthful there. With an Indiana primary landslide victory, there is no more delegate math to do. Ted Cruz got out last night. John Kasich apparently has a few extra T-shirts to sell. He's technically still in the race, but has no way of challenging Trump at this point in delegates. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders' win in Indiana can't stop Hillary Clinton's delegate machine, but it once again points up her weakness as a national candidate. More about that later. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, is with me. It's Trump versus Bernie Clinton, Clinton-Bernie. The race starts now, right?
It sure does. And there's a reckoning going on, as you just described, John, among Republicans, many of them coming to terms with the man who is going to be their nominee, who many of them said they wouldn't vote for, couldn't vote for, or a year ago laughed at, couldn't conceive of to be the party's nominee. Now, you just played a lot of other people's words about Donald Trump, that he's a jerk, that he doesn't believe in the Constitution, all of those other things. It was great to play those because I've been talking to some people about Donald Trump's own words, some of the things that he said during this primary and what it means now as Trump transitions to a general election to try to be a president and to try to appear presidential, and how he makes that transition starting this morning, John. I talked to a well-known political Republican operative in Washington, D.C. His name is Josh Holmes. He's the founding partner of Cavalry Group. He's run one or two campaigns in his day. And he has talked about what Donald Trump has been saying about Latinos, what he's been saying about Muslims, and especially what he's been saying about women.
Voters are so skeptical of any messages that are filtered through the media at this stage that they tend not to trust what it is that people are saying that these people stand for. It is a much different scenario when they are telling you directly what it is that they stand for. And in that sense, that's the reason why that a first person, your own words, are so damaging in general elections.
And John, that's why people like Josh Holmes expect to hear a lot of ads during this general that are like this.
Real quotes from Donald Trump about women.
Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that?
It really doesn't matter what they write, as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass. This is how Donald Trump talks about our mothers,
our sisters,
our daughters.
Where did you get that?
John, that is a Republican-funded attack ad from the primary, funded by a Republican super PAC against Donald Trump. And if you think the Republican one was bad, these people are warning me, wait until Hillary Clinton and the Democrats start to produce those.
But they're going to have to put those into the deep freeze, right? They've paid for the ads, but they can't run them now, right?
Well, it might be a little bit early, but they're certainly going to be able to run them later in the election. And then part of the question becomes, how does Donald Trump respond to this long history of his own words? He's shown a remarkable ability to change himself, to sort of stretch with the political times. And that's amazed a lot of political operatives. Ron Bongean is an experienced political hand. He's worked for leaders in the House and Senate. He has his own political consulting firm in Washington. And I put this question of Trump's own words to him yesterday.
But I could see him standing in front of Planned Parenthood in August saying to the country, you see, I told you they do a lot of great things here at Planned Parenthood, and I'm really supportive of them. Sure, we have an issue over what they've been doing on the abortion thing, but I kind of love these guys. And then most Americans are not paying attention to the daily political scene, start gravitating to that conversation and begin to believe him. I think he's a chameleon and can morph.
So is he saying that it doesn't matter what Trump said, or that it will come back to haunt him, what Trump said?
Neither. He's saying it can matter a great deal, but that Trump has shown a remarkable ability to shift and change from past positions and past identities, and may be able to make voters forget all of the awful things that he said in the past, or all of the awful things that he said in the primary.
It's also the case that everybody has to come back under the tent. I mean, they all have to come back to Cleveland smiling. I mean, there may be some bitter folks and some fundraisers who stay home, but come on. I mean, they're all going to be – the 17 are going to be together.
John, there are some Republicans around my neighborhood in Washington, some, who've resigned themselves, they say, to the fact that they're going to lose this election because they think Trump is weak and too many of them can't or won't rally around him. But that's only a few. You know what they also realize? That Hillary Clinton is fundamentally a weak candidate, that her ceiling is pretty low. These are two extremely unpopular candidates when you really look at it. What happens when they go head to head? There may actually be great opportunities for Donald Trump. And strategically, you know, a lot of Republicans, even the ones who complain, like you're saying, they would never vote for Trump, you know where they're looking? They're looking to the Rust Belt. They're looking to states like Ohio and Wisconsin, maybe Pennsylvania, but especially Michigan, the places that are disaffected, where workers are sick of trade deals, are worried about their future, and are afraid, people who Donald Trump has really appealed to. I had a fascinating conversation with Debbie Dingell. She's a member of Congress, a Democrat, and a big Hillary supporter from Detroit and Dearborn and Ypsilanti in Michigan. She has been going around to the Clinton campaign and to any Democrat who will listen to say, don't take Donald Trump lightly. This is Michigan, and I'm telling you, he can win. Listen.
I've been saying this, and I'm just telling what I see in Michigan. I said it before the primary that I didn't agree with anybody who thought that this race was not going to be close in Michigan. And I'm telling people now that if we don't do a better job communicating with working men and women, we're going to have a problem.
Is the mission for the GOP to focus on Congress if they don't like Donald Trump?
Well, there's a lot of Republican money that's probably not going to go to Donald Trump, including Coke money, John. That's unlikely to go to Donald Trump. Where does that money then go? It could go down ballot, and they're going to need it. A lot of Republican candidates are really worried about the top of the ticket, and I think that you're about to see a whole bunch of Republican Senate campaigns in places like New Hampshire, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin that are all of a sudden independent campaigns, running their own campaigns. Mitch McConnell famously told Republican incumbents, if Donald Trump is the nominee, we're going to drop him like a hot rock. What does that mean? Run your own race. Don't run a Trump coattails campaign. Do what you can to stay in the Senate, John.
We shall see. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much, Todd.
My pleasure.
Now, here's a wager you might have loved to have made. $36 million, a bet on Donald Trump. $36 million bet on Trump would have paid you just about $67 million in wealthy high roller bets against the Donald during this campaign season. That's what anti-Trump groups have spent on 53,000 ads. As of last month, Trump has spent far less of his own money, that $36 million, on his own campaign. Sean Noble is a Republican strategist who joins me from Phoenix. Sean, is that money all down the drain now?
It is. It is, in fact, the way politics works. When you lose, the investment goes away. There is no return on investment.
And how does that sting of losing all that money bear on the ability of some of these influential Republicans to get back into the tent in time for the convention and for the general election?
What we've seen in the last few hours, essentially, since Trump has become the presumptive nominee when Ted Cruz dropped out last night, is you've seen some people in the kind of the Never Trump movement beginning to, double down, essentially saying this movement's not over. We're going to continue to, tell the truth about Donald Trump. Anything that they do, if they get any kind of traction, that's only going to hurt Trump and make it more likely that Hillary gets elected. So there's going to have to be some soul searching within the Republican Party, among activists, the donor class, and the grassroots, because as much as some don't appreciate it and are horrified by it, He is the presumptive nominee, and he's going to be the Republican Party standard bearer in the fall.
How do Republicans conduct this conversation? What discussions have you had with people who may have been in the never camp and either are considering doubling down or considering basically building a bridge and wandering back into the tent?
Well, I don't doubt that there are those in the Trump campaign that have been flooded with phone calls, emails, and texts from operatives across the country who have been anti-Trump and now say, oh, he's the nominee, I got to get on board. A lot of that's going to be for selfish reasons. They now want to be paid by the Trump campaign to help them in the general. The grassroots, there's enough dislike for Hillary that they're just going to say Trump's our guy. And some in the donor community, I think, they may not support Trump, but what their thought process will be is, what do we have to do to protect the House and the Senate to make sure that we have a Republican House and Senate, because they believe Trump will lose to Hillary, and so we need to have a check against Hillary, and they don't want to have a situation like we saw in 2008 where you have a Democrat president, a Democrat House, and a Democrat Senate.
Is that the Koch brothers' logic in possibly supporting Hillary or even, you know, sending up that balloon?
I think that when Charles was asked the question about would Hillary make a better president than some of the Republican potentials, and he said probably. I mean, I don't think that that's untrue, in the sense that she understands a lot more about the inner workings of government and how the process works. The fact is that there's going to be renewed interest and a heavy investment in Republican efforts for the House and the Senate, because of President Clinton, is going to be a challenge to the values and the ideologies and the issues that, you know, Republican donors care about.
So it's there are interesting episodes to come here in this campaign, wouldn't you say?
No question. I mean, this has been the most bizarre election cycle I've ever watched, and I think it's just starting.
Sean Noble, Republican strategist, speaking from Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks so much, Sean.
Great to be here. Thank you.